Well, when I was a kid growing up, department stores would have background music, and it was sort of a mishmash of oldies and adult contemporary. You can imagine the oldies back then were really oldies. But this was long before Muzak and before easy listening radio. There was the Seeburg 1000. Seeburg 1000 played 9-inch 16 RPM records. That's right, records that turned at 16 revolutions per minute, which was basically half the speed of 33 1/3 LPs. So these records were hopelessly incompatible with all commercially made turntables and phonographs, although you could play them on any record player that had a 16 RPM speed selector if you could get the record centered right, or make a DIY adapter. Anyways, these records were distributed quarterly to department stores and other places, and they had boxes of 7 records. Now, the operator was supposed to replace the records in the system with new records of the same number. And each box was labeled with the library type, the date to place in service, and instructions to the operator. The instructions also specified that each record set was going to be returned, or should be returned, to Seeburg after use. And then upon return, the records were destroyed. So Seeburg 1000 systems are hard to find today. The records are a little bit easier to find. You might find them on eBay, but actual functioning Seeburg 1000 units, not so much. If you can find them, they're very expensive. The Seeburg 1000 was used from 1959, yes, the year of my birth, until the mid-1970s. And I grew up with them. I really enjoyed them. I think my father, being a radio service technician, actually fixed one or two in his time. So, by the way, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to At the Tone, and we're going to hear 15 minutes of wonderful Seeburg 1000 music. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to At The Tone on The Global Voice at theglobalvoice.info.
This is Bird Note. Seabirds gather where food is abundant, at the edge of North America's continental shelf, where nutrient-rich waters nurture a wealth of squid and small fish. Let's go take a look. It's a summer day off the coast of North Carolina. We set sail east over 75 feet of water, but it's not long before the seafloor drops off more than 12,000 feet, and things change. Seabird researcher Tom Johnson explains.
Right at the greatest amount of slope of that seafloor, there's an area of upwelling and productivity. And in that area, in a very small area, you can have very large flocks of shearwaters and storm petrels, boreal migrants like jaegers, meeting perhaps South Polar skuas coming up from the Antarctic, seabirds that are coming from all corners of the Atlantic Ocean.
What's it like to experience this remarkable convergence?
To have the opportunity to wake up in the morning and be offshore in blue water that's thousands of feet deep, out of sight of land, and encountering birds that are flying alongside of each other but who hatched at different ends of the earth is an opportunity that I just am overwhelmed by, and I feel incredibly fortunate to be out there sharing the ocean with these animals.
Learn about Tom Johnson's research on seabirds at birdnote.org.
Thank you.
Mr. Vic Mars. From the LP The Land and the Garden, we heard Butterflies, Bees, and Other Insects. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to At the Tone, an hour of music for folks who love rummaging through dusty crates of old records, VHS tapes, 8-tracks, etc., showcasing music for television test cards, cinematic soundtracks, library and production music, easy tempo jazz, and more. Light up the lava lamp and come on the sonic journey.
Hello, welcome to the show.
That's the voice of news commentator Harry Shearer. And every Tuesday at 17 hours UTC on the Global Voice, he brings his unique slant on the news to your ears.
New and tighter Twitter procedures at The Onion. Imagine what those must be like to ensure this kind of mistake does not occur again. I'm going to have to sit down. Oh, wait, I am sitting down.
The show with Harry Shearer every Tuesday at 17 hours UTC on the Global Voice. Check the website for times and repeats.
The Global Voice, the most interactive station on the internet.
I find I can.
Baragozi Group from their LP Optical Sound, that was Red Face. Before that, the Gals and Pals with Blue on Blue. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to At the Tone, which features music for test cards, libraries, and lava lamps. In other words, a mix of library music, easy jazz, and a tinge of psychedelic pop from the 1960s through today. And I'm happy to be with you here on the Global Voice every Saturday at 1900 UTC. Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to communicate, you can find me on Facebook. The group is At The Tone. I have a Twitter handle. It is currently at Radio Thrift Shop. You can also email me at frederick@christiannewage.com. That's frederick@christiannewage.com.
Back in 1981, when we moved into our house on Peabody Street, the very first songbirds I noticed were several evening grosbeaks sitting in a box elder tree right next to our house. One of the evening grosbeak's favorite foods is box elder seeds, and our two box elders, and then a third that sprouted up in the middle of our yard, gave us a huge advantage in attracting these beautiful birds during all the years they were common or even abundant in Duluth. But the moment she saw it, my mother-in-law told me the box elder next to the house should come down as soon as possible. It was a dangerous hazard. Russ told me not to worry. The tree was too close to the house to pose a danger because it would fall gently if it did fall in the wrong direction. Now, 37 years later, it's still standing. What has changed is how much more devoted I am to it now than I was then, even as evening grosbeaks have disappeared. Over the years, this tree has provided nesting quarters for a few birds that I've been aware of, and probably plenty that I didn't notice. At least one pair of chickadees fledged young from it, and I was very bonded to that particular pair. At the start of the courting season, one was missing its tail feathers, and the other had some weird scar tissue on the face that led to some of the feathers next to the eye growing in backward. The two were probably at the bottom of the flock's social hierarchy for what were really temporary defects, and oddly enough, those defects were exactly why I keyed in on them and made sure of all my backyard chickadees that those two got the best helpings of nutritious mealworms. It was thrilling when they paired off and nested in that box elder, especially because that was a year when we were using what is now my office as our bedroom. I could see and hear them each morning from bed. Chickadees often excavate their own nest holes or use those of downy woodpeckers, and in either case, both species prefer rotten wood. A healthier tree would just not have been the right choice. A pair of red-breasted nuthatches nested in the tree, too, and several gray squirrel families got their start in it. I've taken thousands of photos of birds, including warblers and hummingbirds, perched on old lichen-covered branches very close to the window. That lichen was evidence that the tree is growing increasingly rotten, and indeed those nearby branches were attached to a limb that crashed to the ground in a storm last year. The center of the tree has developed a huge, hollowed-out area where one large rotten limb fell years ago. I'm pretty sure one or the other of a pair of pileated woodpeckers spent nights roosting in that rotted area. For a while last year, the male or female would be calling from the tree at first light. This neighborhood pair spends a lot of time in my yard, and last week when I heard one of them working in a tree, not with loud hammering but more quiet chiseling, I looked out my office window and discovered the male was inside that hollowed-out space digging out grubs. I could only see the side or back of his head occasionally, so I went into the yard to photograph and take videos. He kept at it a good 5 minutes, paying no attention to me or my camera, and then flew south, possibly to a nest tree a block or two away. The tree is beautifully leafed out right now and heavy with seeds. Even I can see it will not live forever. None of us do. But I'm sure glad we didn't sentence it to an early death so many years and experiences ago. And that pileated woodpecker is glad about that, too. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.
Thank you. Aloha, ho'oleho oko ka leo ohonua.
Broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, this is the Global Voice.
woman's arm. She didn't know what she was headed for, and when I found what she was headed for, it was too late. She's come undone. She found a mountain that was far too high, and when she found out she couldn't fly, it was too late. It's too late. She's gone too far. She's lost the sun. She's come undone. She wanted truth, but all she got was lies. Came the time to realize.
Guess Who, the tune called Undone. Well, this is DJ Frederick, and if you enjoy shortwave radios, obscure music, and watching the occasional test pattern, you've come to the right place. It's At The Tone, and I'll be here next Saturday at 1900 UTC. Please join me then for more music to help you find your groove here on The Global Voice at theglobalvoice.info.
What is ham radio? It's the most fun you can have with a radio. Talk to people around the world or even orbiting the world.
And you don't need a 2-year contract or internet access to do it.
Learn about electronics and be of service to your community. ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, has over 2,000 clubs across the country, including this one in your area.
Thank you. For decades, television and radio broadcasts may have been reaching an unintended audience. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is the pulse of the planet.
You know what that is, don't you?
You're imitating a bumblebee?
Don't you remember that?
Ever since human beings created radio, and then a little bit later television, we have been sending unintentional messages off into space. I Love Lucy has been streaming out toward the stars at the speed of light for over 50 years. So we have been making ourselves known to the cosmos. But only incidentally are they going to other civilizations.
Doug Vakoch is president of METI International, which stands for Messaging Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Unlike SETI, which has primarily been listening for evidence of life in space, METI wants to take a more active approach.
We're saying, in addition to those communications with ourselves, we want to send the extraterrestrials a clear-cut message saying, we want to engage in a conversation with you.
But not everyone thinks sending intentional messages into space is a good idea.
One of the most vocal opponents of METI is Stephen Hawking, the British cosmologist. Hawking makes the point that whenever a more advanced civilization meets a less advanced civilization, it almost always turns out poorly for the less advanced civilization. So his solution is to try to stay as quiet as we can. But there's one big problem. Our accidental TV and radio signals are streaming out into space at the speed of light. There's no way we can hide ourselves from a civilization that has the capacity to come here.
We'll hear more about messaging outer space in future programs. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is the Pulse of the Planet.